Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And with peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. But what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you for the many ways that your word empowers us, guides us, strengthens us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one every single day. Thank you for the privilege of prayer, the opportunity to talk with you, to have conversations with you in prayer, to be able to spend time in your presence. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're Heavenly Father that always, always, always has a listening ear for the prayers of his children. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be, and help us to recognize, Lord, that all of us are called to live lives and lifestyles full of prayer. Help us to do that faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the gift of faith. Father, I ask that you would help us to walk more in our faith, that we'd pray more in faith, trusting in you and trusting in your ways. Father, thank you so much that we can pray and ask for things, believing that you can provide what we need when we need it. Thank you so much, Father, that we can walk in faith, believing that your ways are good. And thank you so much that we can pray in faith, knowing that you are listening. Thank you so much, Father, for being present and for being so personal. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Father, thank you again for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we will have in just a few days to vote and help bring in the leadership that you would have us to have in our nation coming up to these elections. Father, more and more stir us as the church to do what you'd have us to do our due diligence in learning about the different candidates, and help us to pray and use us to usher in more and more leaders, righteous leaders that will honor, please, and glorify you. Father, raise up more and more righteous leaders that will seek to honor you, serve you, and follow you as a leader. And more and more, we ask that you would remove unrighteous leaders that do not seek to serve you, to honor you, or follow you. We thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to lift our leaders up in prayer. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. You know, if you listen on a regular basis, you probably heard me on a number of occasions talk about the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry. It is a mobile medical pregnancy ministry that the Lord led my wife, Bertie, and I to lead and to start. It is a pregnancy ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta. And part of what we want to invite every single listener to do, to prayerfully consider becoming a part of our prayer committee for the ministry. You know, the reality is, whether you understand this or not, there's a lot of warfare around the work and the ministry of every pregnancy clinic, as well as a lot of warfare and activity in the spirit realm around places where abortions take place as well. Sadly, abortion is one of the devil's pet peeves. He's passionate about seeing that abortion goes forward, and that's one more reason why we as the church should be reminded that we're to be committed to the Word of God and living the Word of God. And part of what that means is helping to bring abortion to an end, but also ministering to moms and young people that find themselves expecting a child at a difficult or challenging time in their lives. And so, again, our mobile medical pregnancy ministry is serving in the Mississippi Delta. The website is deltapchc.org. Again, that's deltapchc.org. Please take time to go and look at our website and learn more about the ministry. And again, if you're willing to become a part of our ongoing prayer family, we would really, really appreciate it. We're asking that you'd pray for the ministry of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center every single day. And if you feel led of the Lord to give financially to help support the work, we would very much appreciate that as well. But whatever you choose to do, again, at minimal, we're asking that you would become a part of our prayer family. Our goal is that we'll be expanding more and more to serve further parts of the Mississippi Delta as well. And it's as God uses individuals to become prayer partners as well as financial partners. That's an important part of how we're able to move forward to do the work and the mission the Lord has called us to. I want to share with you a couple testimonials of young moms, things they shared after becoming clients in our mobile medical pregnancy clinic. And I would mention the four ladies that make up the staff of the ministry are doing a wonderful job. Again, prayer, please pray with them, pray for them as they share the gospel, as they take time to talk with and encourage young moms in whatever place they find themselves in, as they do ultrasounds, and as they minister to the women in whatever way that may be needed. Here's one testimonial that I'm going to read first from a young mom. This year I had surgery, and early in the year is when I got a positive pregnancy test. I was so excited and scared at the same time. Thoughts of an ectopic pregnancy crossed my mind. I just prayed and kept my hope and faith in God. I happened to stumble upon the Image Clear Ultrasound Mobile Clinic and immediately booked an appointment. The ladies there were a godsend. As nervous as I was to see what I was about to experience, the ladies there made me feel very comfortable. They reassured me that everything would be okay. When the ultrasound tech told me that the baby was in the uterus, a weight was lifted and I could finally breathe. Before I left my appointment, the ladies prayed for me. I had a healthy pregnancy and healthy baby. There is still power in prayer. Thank you to the crew at the Image Clear Ultrasound. And of course, ICU Mobile is what is on the outside of our truck. But again, the official name of the ministry is the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. And another testimonial from another young lady who was a recent client with the ministry. I'm thankful for the ICU Mobile. I'm so glad that I had come across this. They're truly nice people. They're amazing and helpful. I had many questions about being a first-time mom, and they answered, or at least pointed me in the right direction, but overall, they really helped me out. I had a chance to see and hear my baby on the sonogram that they have on the ICU mobile monitor. They even provided me a book with some prayers to read to my baby. I'm so thankful for the support and love that I received from them. I would like more women to know that there are people who are willing to help them and that you are not alone. I definitely hope that the ICU mobile are able to help more women and children. Signed, a thankful new mommy. So again, those are just two testimonials that were shared from moms who have been clients recently in our pregnancy ministry. So please, again, pray daily for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry as they function, as the staff functions there in the Delta. And again, if you feel so led of the Lord to give financially, we would very, very much appreciate that. My encouragement to every single listener is make it a goal to become much more informed about your local pregnancy clinic, wherever or whatever ministry that might be. Find out where it is, and I would encourage you to prayerfully consider becoming a volunteer. Prayerfully consider giving financially. Pray daily for the work that they do. And, you know, one of the truths that I want you to be mindful of is that, sadly, many a pregnancy clinic is very poorly funded. And so individuals and churches that decide they want to really come alongside and help significantly is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So we're encouraging every single listener, prayerfully consider putting a gift to the pregnancy ministry in your community, just making a monthly gift just a priority. That would mean so, so much. And if enough individuals and or churches do that, that can help to cover all the expenses that your local pregnancy clinic may be incurring as they carry out their mission from the Lord. Thank you again, Father, for the work of pregnancy clinics. Thank you for individuals that are prayer partners with pregnancy clinics all over our nation. Thank you, Lord, also for churches that decide to come alongside. Father, more and more move upon individuals and churches to become committed monthly givers to the work of their local pregnancy clinic. And help us more and more to realize, Lord, that praise God for the fact that Roe v. Wade was overturned. But Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, that the work is far from over. And Father, we pray a special prayer for all the state ballot initiatives that will be voted on next week. Thank you for your sovereignty over each and every one. Father, we ask, Lord, I pray that none of those amendments would pass in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray that the people of God will be wise enough to pray wisely against them in Jesus' name. And help us as the church to recognize, Lord, that we're to boldly stand for life and stand against abortion. Help us to do that in whatever ways we can. Again, as we pray for pregnancy clinics and other pro-life ministries, as we give financially, but also as we volunteer, as we take time to maybe give diapers or give baby items to the local pregnancy clinics. But help us to know, Lord, that there's so, so much work to be done. Father, we'd ask specifically that you would, we pray a special prayer for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry in the Mississippi Delta. Bless this ministry indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it, keep it from evil, that it may not cause pain. More and more, Father, provide the necessary, the needed additional personnel as we expand the work we're doing, and provide the needed volunteers as well that will come and help us with the responsibilities that do require volunteer help, and raise up people that are committed, faithful, and passionate prayer warriors who will pray every single day for this ministry as well as for their local pregnancy clinic ministry. Help us all to do that which you'd have each of us to do individually and collectively as your church. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep.
Music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Then Solomon prayed, O Lord, you have said that you would live in a thick cloud of darkness. Now I have built a glorious temple for you, a place where you can live forever. Then the king turned around to the entire community of Israel, standing before him and gave this blessing. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept the promise he made to my father David. For he told my father, from the day I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I have never chosen a city among any of the tribes of Israel as the place where a temple should be built to honor my name. Nor have I chosen a king to lead my people Israel. But now I have chosen Jerusalem as the place for my name to be honored. And I have chosen David to be king over my people Israel. Then Solomon said, my father David wanted to build this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord told him, you wanted to build the temple to honor my name. Your intention is good, but you are not the one to do it. One of your own sons will build the temple to honor me. And now the Lord has fulfilled the promise he made, for I have become king in my father's place, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised. I have built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have placed the ark, which contains the covenant that the Lord made with the people of Israel. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, in front of the entire community of Israel, and he lifted his hands in prayer. Now Solomon had made a bronze platform 7.5 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet high, and placed it at the center of the temple's outer courtyard. He stood on the platform, and then he knelt in front of the entire community of Israel and lifted his hands toward heaven. He prayed, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in all of heaven and earth. You keep your covenant and show unfailing love to all who walk before you in wholehearted devotion. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. You made that promise with your own mouth and with your own hands. You have fulfilled it today. And now, O Lord God of Israel, carry out the additional promise you made to your servant David, my father. For you said to him, if your descendants guard their behavior and faithfully follow my law, as you have done, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. Now, O Lord, God of Israel, fulfill this promise to your servant David. But will God really live on earth among people? Why even the highest heavens cannot contain you? How much less this temple I have built? Nevertheless, listen to my prayer and my plea, O Lord God, O Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is making to you. May you watch over this temple day and night, this place where you have said you would put your name. May you always hear the prayers I make toward this place. May you hear the humble and earnest requests from me and your people, Israel, when we pray toward this place. Yes, hear us from heaven where you live, and when you hear, forgive. If someone wrongs another person and is required to take an oath of innocence in front of your altar at this temple, then hear from heaven and judge between your servants, the accuser and the accused. Pay back the guilty as they deserve. Acquit the innocent because of their innocence. If your people Israel are defeated by their enemies because they have sinned against you, and if they turn back and acknowledge your name and pray to you here in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and return them to this land you gave to them and to their ancestors. If the skies are shut up and there's no rain because your people have sinned against you, and if they pray toward this temple and acknowledge your name and turn from their sins because you have punished them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them to follow the right path and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as their special possession. If there is a famine in the land, or a plague, or crop disease, or attacks of locusts or caterpillars, or if your people's enemies are in the land besieging their towns, whatever disaster or disease there is, and if your people Israel pray about their troubles or sorrow, raising their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and forgive. Give your people what their actions deserve, for you alone know each human heart. Then they will fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land you gave to our ancestors. In the future, foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel will hear of you. They will come from distant lands when they hear of your great name and your strong hand and your powerful arm. And when they pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven where you live and grant what they ask of you. In this way, all the people of the earth will come to know and fear you, just as your own people Israel do. They too will know that this temple I have built honors your name. If your people go out where you send them to fight their enemies, and if they pray to you by turning toward this city you have chosen and toward this temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers from heaven and uphold their cause. If they sin against you, and who has never sinned, you might become angry with them and let their enemies conquer them and take them captive to a foreign land far away or near. But in that land of exile, they might turn to you in repentance and pray, "We have sinned, done evil, and acted wickedly." If they turn to you with their whole heart and soul in the land of their captivity and pray toward the land you gave to their ancestors, toward this city you have chosen, and toward this temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers and their petition from heaven where you live and uphold their cause. Forgive your people who have sinned against you. O my God, may your eyes be upon and you, excuse me, Oh my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to all the prayers made to you in this place. And now arise, O Lord God, and enter your resting place, along with the ark, the symbol of your power. May your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your loyal servants rejoice in your goodness. O Lord God, do not reject the king you have anointed. Remember your unfailing love for your servant David. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glorious presence of the Lord, because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 cattle and 12,000 sheep and goats. And so the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their assigned positions, and so did the Levites who were singing, His faithful love endures forever. They accompanied the singing with music from the instruments King David had made for praising the Lord. Across from the Levites, the priests blew the trumpets while all Israel stood. Solomon then consecrated the central area of the courtyard in front of the Lord's temple. He offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings there because the bronze altar he had built could not hold all the burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sacrificial fat. For the next 7 days, Solomon and all Israel celebrated the festival of shelters. A large congregation had gathered from as far away as Lebo Hamath in the north and the Brook of Egypt in the south. On the eighth day, they had a closing ceremony, for they had celebrated the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the festival of shelters for 7 days. Then, at the end of the celebration, Solomon sent the people home. They were all joyful and glad because the Lord had been so good to David and to Solomon and to his people Israel. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. Then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. As for you, if you faithfully follow me as David your father did, obeying all my commands, decrees, and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty. For I made this covenant with your father, David, when I said, one of your descendants will always rule over Israel. But if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the decrees and commands I have given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people from this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made holy to honor my name. I will make it an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled. They will ask, Why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And the answer will be, because his people abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt, and they worshiped other gods instead and bowed down to them. That is why he has brought all these disasters on them. End of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Music of Phillips, Craig, and Dean with the Revelation Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up reading in the New Testament now in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy in the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. From the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, he is faithful, he is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God, his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I'm the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering, and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. It said, "Write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. And standing in the midst of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished brass refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the churches." Revelation chapter 2. "Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans as far as I do, just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they are not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when my even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his home. Yes, you have remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's sight, in Satan's city. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teachings are like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who received it. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished brass. I know all the things you do. I've seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance. And I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have this complaint against you. You are permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She leads them to commit sexual sin and to eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from her evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person, and I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira who have not followed this false teaching, that is, deeper truths as they call them, depths of Satan actually. I will ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Finishing out this chapter, to them I will give authority over the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 29. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you for the power that rests upon your word. Thank you for the anointing that rests upon your word. Stir us more and more to be the faithful church that is hearing and doing your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you know that you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've never invited him to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life and be saved, if you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer and commit your life to Christ today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you daily. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you, like to communicate with you, want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email to get that information is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that. Again, to send that information your way. Hope that you will be in touch with us. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Please keep in mind, on an ongoing basis, if you're wanting some of the prayer tools we provide, such as the prayer based on Psalm 91, the Kingdom Prayers tool, or any of a number of other tools that we have, we're glad to get them to you. Same email, just request them by email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.